song written by Narottam Das Thakur. And in this song, it expresses his anxiety and his mood when he was proceeding to go to Vrindavan. We know that Narottam Das Thakur, like Raghunath Das Goswami, he was from a very wealthy family and he had to run away in order to achieve his transcendental goal. So this song, sometimes it is said that he sang this on his way to Vrindavan, and sometimes it is said that he was singing this when he was aspiring to go to Vrindavan. So we can understand that there's a special mood in this song. So while we're singing, we should, if you can be looking at the words, I think the last verse is not here, but if you can look at the words in English as you're singing, it helps you to understand what you're singing and to be able to acquire a feeling for the words rather than just mechanically singing the Bengali. So we'll start now with the song.
গৌরাঙ্গ বলিতে হবে পুলক শরীর হরি হরি বলিতে নয়নে ভবে নীর গৌরাঙ্গ বলিতে হবে পুলক শরীর হরি হরি শরীর হরি হরি বলিতে নয়নে ভবে গৌরাঙ্গ বলিতে হবে হবে হইবে আকুতি হবে হাম
Vrindavan by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and waiting for that opportunity when he will feel ecstatic symptoms by simply chanting the name of Lord Chaitanya, then he's praying for the mercy of Lord Nityananda to relieve him of all material desires, all anxiety, all attachments. Then he's praying to the six Goswamis that by reading their literature he can understand the wonderful pastimes of Radharan Krishna. And then he's praying, finally he's expressing that he's constantly, this is the constant prayer and request of Narottam Das. So in this Sakhi Vrinde Vigyapati, prayer to the Sakhis, we can hear what service he would like to do in Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
राधा कृष्ण प्राण मोर जुगल किशोर राधा कृष्ण प्राण मोर जुगल किशोर जीवने मरने गति Oh,
So this is such a wonderful song. This is the aspirations, the longings of Narottam Das Thakur. It's not necessarily our longings. But by singing it, expressing that this is what Narottam Das Thakur wants, when we sing it, some impression is made on our heart also. So Narottam Das Thakur is saying, the divine couples, Sri Radha and Krishna, are my life and soul. In life or death, I have no other refuge but them. In a forest of small kadamba trees on the bank of the Jamuna, I will seat the divine couple on a throne made of brilliant jewels. I will anoint their dark and fair forms with sandalwood paste scented with chuya, and I will fan them with a chamara whisk. Oh, when will I behold their moon-like faces? After stringing together garlands of malati flowers, I will place them around their necks, and I will offer tambul scented with camphor to their lotus mouths. With the permission of all the sakis headed by Lalita and Vishakha, I will serve the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Narottam Das, the servant of the servant of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, longs for this service to the divine couple. So this is his prayer, and we also should aspire to pray like this. So one thing, when I was preparing to research the life of Narottam Das Thakur, there were various books that have been listed as having historic evidences relating to his life. But when I checked, I found that in our Guru Parampara, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so stringent in his view on what was bona fide and what was non-bona fide, what was tainted by some faulty Siddhanta. His name was Bhakti Siddhanta. So he rigidly protected the Siddhanta of Srila Rupa Goswami. So as I was trying to discover what was authentic and not authentic in the books about Narottam Das Thakur, it became clear to me that none of them were actually totally could to be considered authentic for various subtle or tangible reasons. So it was a little bit confusing to me because I couldn't find out anything that seemed to be 100% without some controversy or difference of opinion by another author. So then as I was thinking about it, I came to the conclusion that it was so long ago that it's unlikely that you're going to find exactly, just like if there was a car accident outside the temple and four people came running in to tell you about it, they would have somewhat different perspectives on what happened just right there, or to speak of something that happened maybe 400 years ago. So we will therefore be obliged to take something from these various sources. But mostly, I prefer to discuss tonight or read tonight the writings of Narottam Das Thakur because there's no ambiguity in that. And that is what he has actually left as his heritage, the treasure that he has left for all coming generations. So according to the Prem Vilas, which is one book which is not entirely substantiated by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but there is some description there in that book about how Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, prior to the advent of Narottam Das, were travelling in Nadia, and they came to the river Padmavati, River Padma. And when they came to the bank of the River Padma, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started crying and calling out, "O Narottam, Narottam," and calling the name of Narottam. So this was witnessed by some of the persons who were present. Lord Nityananda, of course, knew what was taking place. And he knew, and the intimate devotees knew, that a great personality would soon take birth whose name would be Narottam. So at this time, Lord Chaitanya said that he would leave his intense love or prem, he would deposit that prem in the river Padma. And when in future this Narottam comes and bathes here, this Padma river will extend my love to him. So Narottam was not even born at this time. So the devotees became very ecstatic hearing about this exalted personality that would be appearing certainly in the future. So then Mahaprabhu said, when someone enters your waters and causes you to overflow, he told the Padma River, as I have just done, he himself had done, and when a person comes whose presence makes you greatly jubilant, that is Narottam. So then the personified Padma River, according to this account, offered her obeisances and again resumed a watery form. So then, Narottam Das Thakur was born, according to some, around 1534. And he grew up as the son of a great king named Krishna Nanda Datta. His mother's name was Narayani Devi. They were fabulously wealthy and they were Kayastas by caste. And they raised their son as an honored prince. So just like when we read about the life of Srinivasacharya or Shyamananda, or any of these personalities, these three, Shyamananda, Srinivas, and Narottam, were contemporaries. And the three of them studied together later in Vrindavan under the care of Sri Jiva Goswami. So there is more information about their lives than there is information about the direct followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at his time. So when you read about the lives of these three personalities, they're very strikingly similar. They were very beautiful, very gentle, naturally very learned. They were loved by all the people in their village. All the mothers of all the families all considered that boy to be theirs. And there was so much love and affection shared with their parents. They were their situations. Srinivasacharya, his father was a brahmana. And Shyamananda, his father, was also of a different caste. So Narottam was exceptional in the fact that his family was so wealthy. But otherwise, they were very, very similar. So it says here, according to the Prem Vilas, that one day, soon after Narottam became a teenager, he was in his early youth, he'd already become very gentle, very well, very learned, very loving to his family. He went, Lord Nityananda appeared to him in a dream and told him that tomorrow as the sun begins to rise, you should take your bath in the Padma River. At that time you shall receive the totality of Gaur Prem. That means all complete love of God will manifest itself within your heart. When Narottam awoke, he immediately went and took his bath in the Padma. Entering the river Padma, Narottam felt himself undergoing a vital transformation. Then Mahaprabhu appeared before his eyes and affectionately embraced him. And it said that he felt Mahaprabhu's presence enter into his own body. And it's also described in here that at that time his complexion, which was darker, became very, very golden. So when he returned home to his family, as you can imagine, if somebody was to actually... And the waters, of course, overflooded the banks of the Padma when he went into the water. So when someone was to have the direct darshan of Lord Chaitanya, and we heard what this is. Does anyone remember what the name is for this particular manifestation of Lord Chaitanya's mercy? We talked about this on the first day of Gaur Mandala. There were three ways that the Lord manifests his mercy. One was Shakshat. What was the second one? No, the last one was Abhibhav. And there was one in the middle. Avish. This is a case of Avish. That the Lord entered in within his body. His potency entered within his body. And he became completely surcharged with the same love of Radha and Krishna that Mahaprabhu was also manifesting. So he came home and as you can imagine, he was totally different. Totally disinterested in any of the worldly affairs that he was, his family members were involved in. And they, like Raghunath Das Goswami, became very concerned. And they also posted a guard on him because they could see that now he only wanted to go to Vrindavan. That was the only thing he wanted. He wanted to leave the family. He just simply wanted to find out this love of Krishna that was now very strongly captured his heart. He was looking, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? He wanted to go to Vrindavan. So his parents made every effort to contain him at home until some invitation came up, some formal invitation by some nearby very influential man. And Narottam Das Thakur was obliged to attend it, and his father was obliged to let him go. And then his father knew, certainly when I tell him, yes, you can go to this program, this at this time he will leave. So as he had predicted, when the program arrangement came up and Narottam was sent with his servants to that program, instead of going there, he immediately left and headed towards Vrindavan. And as he was going, he was crying and crying and stumbling and falling and calling out, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And so much mood of separation was there. And there's one other song that it is said that he used to sing at that time. When he was anxious to actually obtain shelter of Vrindavan. I have to find it for you later because I didn't mark it. But there's one song that he was singing which was giving the inner mood again that with which he was proceeding on his journey to Vrindavan. So meanwhile, at the same time that he was going to Vrindavan, Srinivasacharya had already arrived in Vrindavan some years before, and he was already initiated now by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. We'll hear about his life tomorrow, which is also a wonderful story. And he was studying with Sri Jiva Goswami. When he was exhibiting extreme feelings of separation due to his own unique experience of his early youth in searching for Lord Chaitanya, he had met at one point or received the mercy of Sita Thakurani, the wife of Advaita Acharya. And she had placed her lotus feet on his head and had encouraged him that he should go to Vrindavan and that in Vrindavan he would become very happy because now he was feeling so much loss, and told him that when you get there, someone will come who will mitigate all of your suffering. So it describes that when one day Srinivas was thinking about Narottam, he had not ever met him, but it came in his mind thinking of Narottam, and the very next day Narottam Das Thakur appeared. And when Srinivas and Narottam met, as if they were eternally connected, they embraced each other with great happiness. And it was very difficult for them to separate themselves again. And then it is said by the author of Bhakti Ratnakar that at that time Srinivas remembered the words of Sita Thakurani, and he understood that this person who would make him so much, give him so much happiness, was none other than Narottam Das Thakur. So Narottam and Srinivas became inseparable, and they wandered around Vrindavan together, and they studied together, and they slept together and lived together at Radha Damodar temple. And Jiva Goswami became so pleased with them both, and all the Vaishnavas who were feeling the separation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because remember, these are the three acharyas that came right after Mahaprabhu had gone. So you can imagine how you would feel. You came just that little bit too late. You wanted to meet him. You never met him. And not only that, but all the people who did meet him, they're all weeping and crying for his absence, and they're leaving one after another. They're going, going, going. So all the persons who you heard about in your childhood, this great Vaishnava, this one, they're all leaving. So Narottam and Srinivas, they appeared at this time. And everyone was sunk in separation, everywhere, in Puri, in Vrindavan, and in Navadvip. In Navadvip, Nityananda Prabhu had gone, Advaita Acharya had gone, Vishnu Priya Devi was going to go, Sachi Devi had gone, everyone had gone, all the associates were going, one by one. When Narottam Das Thakur later took darshan and prikram in Navadvip, he was feeling so much separation each place he went, because the person who had lived there and served that deity had just gone. And when he came to Vrindavan, he met Raghunath Das Goswami, who was still present at Radhakund, who could spend his whole time simply crying. And why was he crying? Because Rupa had gone, Sanatan had gone. So Narottam Das did not meet these personalities. Such stalwart, exalted personalities, but he would come and see only their samadhi and weep and weep and weep and think, why am I so unfortunate? So this is the predominant mood of the time of these personalities. It is said actually that Narottam Das Thakur's eyes were never dry. So we can imagine, first of all they would go from place to place meeting the different Vaishnavas in Gaura Mandala, and when they would meet they would cry out of happiness, and when they would leave they would cry out of sadness, and their hearts were so soft and they loved each other so much that they were constantly rolling on the ground, weeping, feeling such sentiments. So when we hear these things we find ourselves quite dry-eyed. And we can just listen and think, that's something I can't quite imagine that. But this was the depth of caliber of these personalities. So if we were fortunate enough to take our birth in Bengal at the time of these personalities, we would also understand their sentiments and we would be able to perceive these feelings of separation as they felt them. So Narottam Das Thakur, he then lived in Vrindavan for some time. Then Sri Jiva Goswami consulted with all the Gaudiya Vaishnava authorities, and they concluded that all the writings of the Goswamis should be taken to Bengal. Because at that time, all the writing acharyas, like Rupa Sanatan, Krishna Das Kaviraj, even Raghunath Das Goswami, were all residing here in Vrindavan. And what was the mood in Bengal? The mood there was Harinam Sankirtan. So much kirtan, everyone was chanting. But the writing, the literary works that were being compiled were done here in Vrindavan. So it was imperative that these works should be taken from Vrindavan and distributed amongst the Gaudiya Vaishnavas living in Bengal. So Sri Jiva Goswami, being the predominant acharya at that time, chose Narottam, Srinivas and Shyamananda to do this. So we know the story, and we'll probably have to cover it a little more tomorrow night, hearing about Srinivas Acharya. But they took these books, and they were there was some difficulty under in the place known later as Van Vishnupur. One king, he intercepted the books. So Srinivas stayed in that place to sort it out with the king. And Narottam proceeded to Bengal, and Shyamananda proceeded to Orissa. And they began traveling and preaching. And Narottam, wherever he went, he was so attractive that so many people would follow him, take initiation from him, and he was very, very popular. Very prejudiced. The caste system was very rigid. And being a Kayasta by birth, he was sometimes considered by those who were very rigid in their Brahmanism that he was actually a Sudra. So we know the famous story about how some pandas became very much disturbed and they wanted to do harm to Narottam Das Thakur. So they decided to go to Khetri Gram and challenge him and accuse him of disturbing the Hindu faith by accepting persons when he himself was a Sudra. So they proceeded, there was a local king and his ministers and pandas. They proceeded towards Khetri Gram. So Narottam Das Thakur had one famous disciple, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, and Ramachandra Kaviraj, who was an intimate friend of Narottam Das Thakur and one of the closest associates and disciples of Srinivas Acharya. And these two great personalities decided that they should do something to prevent any difficulty happening to Narottam Das, their guru. So they disguised themselves, as we know the story, one as a pan wala, and the other one as a, what was the other one? Bidi. So they went and they sat at the beginning of the town, knowing that all of these persons, as they were coming, they would be very tired when they arrived and they would want to get some pan and some cigarettes. So then they sat in those shops and waited, all disguised as a local common person. And when the pandas came and approached them and asked them questions, they began to speak to them in pure Sanskrit. And they were astonished because these are the lowest class of people, the person who sells pan and the person who sells bidis. And they spoke pure Sanskrit. And not only did they speak pure Sanskrit, but they also knew so many philosophical things. And they were speaking to them on such a high level. So then, because this was their first impression when they entered the town, they became astonished and they thought, my goodness, if the pan seller and the bidi wala, they speak so eloquent Sanskrit, they know so much. And they were telling him, I'm certainly telling them that everybody is, because of Narottam Das Thakur, we're all like this. They became quite intimidated, thinking that, my goodness, imagine what he's like. If these low-class people are so exalted, what would he be like? Since even the pan wala and the bidi wala were able to defeat them in argument because they were such exalted Vaishnavas, then the pandas became very much afraid. And intimidated by this, they changed their course of action. And ultimately, they received the mercy of Narottam Das Thakur. So this is one of the many small pastimes that we have reference to in his life. Now I want to read a couple of his songs to you. These are from, he has two song books. One is called Pratana and the other one is called Prem Bhakti Chandrika. And the song we sing every morning, Sri Guru Charana Padma, is written by Narottam Das Thakur. But it is not the completion, it's a longer song than that. It's part of that song. So it is the introductory song to this Sri Prem Bhakti Chandrika. And it is noteworthy that Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who was so renounced and so respected by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, although he considered himself to be illiterate, he carried two books with him, Prem Bhakti Chandrika and Pratana. These two books he kept with him. So we can understand how significant they are. Because we have not got the level of realization that such a personality has, we can read them and understand them only from an outer person's point of view, but still we can appreciate that they must be full of spiritual meaning, codified into these bhajans. There is so much. So somebody who has such a vast spiritual position, just by hearing them, could have so many experiences just by hearing these songs. So he starts song number one. To the lotus feet of my spiritual master, we know this part, which are the abode of pure devotional service, I who am very fallen bow down with great care and attention. Savadana means care and attention. Yes? Carefully, very carefully. Very carefully bow down with great care and attention in my heart. O brother, crossing the realm of repeated birth and death by his mercy, we will attain Krishna. I will make the words from my spiritual master's lotus mouth one with my heart. I do not want the desire for any other thing to stay in my heart. Love for the spiritual master's lotus feet is the highest goal. By his mercy, all desires are fulfilled. He who gave me eyes to see is my Lord, birth after birth. He made divine knowledge shine in my heart. Divya Gyan, Hridoy Prakashita. He manifests Divya Gyan, divine knowledge within the heart. From him has come Prema Bhakti, by which ignorance is destroyed. Avidya Vinas, it is destroyed. Prema Bhakti Jaha Hoite. Avidya Ignorance Vinasa Jate. The Vedic scriptures sing of his character. O spiritual master, O ocean of mercy, O friend of the fallen, O Lokanath, O life of the world, O master, be merciful to me. Give me the shade of your lotus feet. May your glories be proclaimed in the three worlds. So he goes on, the next verse he says, by making the dust of the Vaishnava's feet the ornament of my body, ecstatic love comes. Washing the Vaishnava's lotus feet is my method of worship. By always associating with the Vaishnavas, I shall overcome the darkness of ignorance. O Srila Sanatan Goswami, O Srila Rupa Goswami, who are two deep wells of the nectar of pure love, two personifications of the splendid nectar of the divine couple, and two desire trees by whose mercy the entire world is free from suffering, all glories to you. In your books, you two great souls have clearly described prema bhakti. You are reservoirs of the sweet nectar of the divine couple. Hearing about you brings bliss to my heart. You are fabulously wealthy, possessing ecstatic love for the divine youthful couple, a love more precious and valuable than gold purified in 10,000 flames. O Rupa and Sanatan, all glories to you. I beg you, please, give me in charity some of these jewels. I shall eternally engage in the ninefold process of devotional service, which is the essential message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And I shall not worship the demigods. This is one verse that Srila Prabhupada liked very much to refer to, especially when he was preaching to Indians. But Narottam Das Thakur says, we shall not worship demigods. O brother, I say to you, devotional service is the most exalted form of worship. Making the words, this is the last line, verse, similar to one that we sing. Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Chitete Koriya Aikya Satata Vashiva Prema Maje Karmi Jnani Bhakti Hina Ihare Karibe Bhina Narottama E Tattva Gaje. Making the words of the Guru, Sadhus and Shastra one with my heart. Guru, Sadhus and Shastra Chitete Koriya Aikya. We heard Guru Mukha Padya Vakya Chitete Koriya Aikya. So now he's expanding to Sadhu, Shastra and Guru, one with my heart. I constantly float and swim in the ocean of pure love. I am different from the Kamis and the Jnanis who have no devotion for Krishna. In this way, Narottam Das speaks the truth. So this is his first song. And I'd like to also read you his last song. This is song number 9. These songs are lengthy. They're not just the usual 4-line songs as we see in 5-verse songs in Pratana. I will not hear other talk. I will not speak other talk. I will speak about the most precious thing. I always pray for this. Aside from the talk I yearn to hear, all other words are useless. How can I describe the Supreme Person? He is limitless. Who can know him? The love the people of Braj feel for the Lord is eternal. It is true reality. Always strive to attain that love. Lord Krishna is the pleasure of the cows, land, and the senses, the moon of Gokul, and the root of transcendental happiness. He stays with many Gopa and Gopi friends. His home is Nandishwar, and his name is Giridhari. Please, in the company of the gopis, worship him with love. O brother, the truth of loving devotional service has already been explained to you. O brother, I leave all material desires behind, and by my Guru's mercy, I will perfectly worship Lord Krishna with pure love, and I will become his gopi maidservant. Follow the path of sincere devotional service. Stay with the devotees. Remember Krishna and talk about him. When loving devotion comes, your mind will become pure and all sufferings will flee from your heart. So this is interesting. He's saying, when that love comes, then we will become pure. He's not saying, become pure and then that love will come. He's placing it in the other order. So we have to aspire for this love of Krishna, love of Guru, love of Vaishnavas to appear in our heart, because from that all the unwanted things will be removed. Just as when we turn on the light, we don't have to make a separate endeavor to get rid of all the darkness. It automatically is eradicated by the presence of the light. Know that sense happiness is a calamity. Know that the material world is a dream. Know that this human life is the root from which devotional service may sprout. With love, always worship Lord Krishna. With love, always hear his pastimes. To do anything else is to plunge a spear in your own heart. If one decorates his body with the dust from Srimati Radharani's lotus feet, then it will be very easy for him to attain Lord Giridhari. I congratulate such a great soul who takes shelter of Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. And I say to him, well done, excellent. Glory, glory to she who is named Radha, whose home is Vrindavan, and who is Lord Krishna's treasury of blissful pastimes. Alas, destiny has cheated me, for my ears have not heard Radha's glories. A person who in the company of the devotees again and again hears the stories of the pure love in the rasa dance pastimes will attain Lord Krishna, who is as dark as a monsoon cloud. A person averse to hearing these pastimes will never attain perfection. I refuse to hear the name of such an offender. O brother, by chanting Krishna's name I will attain Radha, and by chanting Radha's name I will attain Krishna. Now I have briefly told you how to chase all sufferings from your heart. What contradicts my words will bring only pain. Abandon false ego, pride, company with materialists and useless material knowledge, and worship the lotus feet of your spiritual master. Offer your home, friends, relatives, body and self to him. His words are supreme. Always serve Sri Krishna Chaitanya Dev, who is a kalpa vriksha tree giving away the treasure of pure love. He is Krishna himself, the Prince of Braj, and the life of Srimati Radharani. Talking about him is full of wonder. Accepting the loving emotions of Sri Radha and accepting her bodily luster as the ornament of his limbs, Lord Krishna descended in Navadvip. Desiring to attain three things, he appeared in Sachi Devi's womb. He attained his desires in the company of his devotees. This is all, he's summarizing Chaitanya Chaitamrita. All of this knowledge is elaborated by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. So we can find everything that he's saying is simply his capsuled presentation of the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Appearing in a fair complexioned form, he made a great monsoon of spiritual love. In this way he attained his three desires. Why did Lord Krishna, the master of Radha, cry again and again? Only the devotees can know. In private, I will practice the nine kinds of devotional service. I think that's gopane, that means secretly and internally. Secretly. I will practice the nine kinds of devotional service, and in this way I will attain perfection. I will always humbly pray for that. In public, I will perform Harinam Sankirtan, my heart overcome with love. Any activity that does not lead to my worshipful Lord is an obstacle. When arrested by the highwaymen of material illusion, bound about the neck with ropes of lust, and about to take his last breath, the devotee of Lord Hari calls out for the Lord's help. He is saved. O devotees, call out in this way, glorifying the nectar topics of pure love for Krishna. Then the calamity of repeated birth and death will come to an end. Hundreds and hundreds of women, children, and other relatives will someday die. Take care of yourself. I, who am very fallen, am already killed by sense gratification. I would not worship Lord Hari's feet. Now I have no protection. I desire the association of Ramachandra Kaviraj. Without his company, the entire world is a desert. If I must take birth again, I would feel myself fortunate to have his association. I will not describe the specific devotional activities of each devotee. Perform your devotional service carefully. Do not become angry. Do not find fault with others. Offer obeisances to the devotee's lotus feet. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu has enabled me to write these words. Without his mercy, I am simply a fool who cannot distinguish right from wrong. In his heart, aspiring to attain the mercy of Srila Lokanath Goswami Prabhupada, Narottam Das speaks this book, Sri Prem Bhakti Chandrika, which means the moonlight of loving devotion. So there are so many more things, if we had another hour, that we could discuss about Narottam Das Thakur, including his Khechari celebration of the first Gaur Purnima, which was so outstanding, when all the Vaishnavas came and they saw Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya appear in their presence. But time is unfortunately short. So I'd like to just stop here for now and ask you what you think about. I was thinking that tomorrow we want to talk about Srinivas Acharya, and his samadhi is here in Vrindavan. So I wanted to know if you thought that you would like to go there and hear about him there.